Welcome. We're delighted that you're here this day for the beginning of our brand new series, our Christmas series, and we're going to be talking about the birth that changed the world. You know, there's never been a child born that has ever had more of an impact upon the nations of the world and upon every individual than the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I would like to believe that our children and our grandchildren were world changers and will be, but there is none like the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to be looking at the birth that changed the world. Now, over the course of the next 3 weeks, that is going to be our theme then. We're going to look at how Jesus literally has impacted every realm of culture, every realm of society. Let's begin this morning by turning to Luke chapter 2. As we look at Luke's familiar narrative in which he records the exciting details of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Starting there with us in verse 1, it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" Look at verse 11 one more time. "Today in the town of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. He is the Lord." This morning, I want us to begin our series by pondering the question, what if Jesus had never been born? Have you thought about that and the impact that such a thing would have upon your individual life? Several years ago, a group of historians met and they asked a number of intriguing questions like, what if the Moors had won the great historic battle in Spain? What if the Dutch would have kept New Amsterdam? Or what if Louis XVI had been a strong and firm king? Or what if Lee would have won at Gettysburg? What about Booth? What if he would have missed Lincoln as he tried to take his life? What if Napoleon would have won the Battle of Waterloo? You know, these particular scenarios are very interesting. If you go back and you look at the outcomes of these, you'd find if the Moors would have won there in Spain, the world today would probably be Islamic from corner to corner. Or if the Dutch would have kept Amsterdam, New Amsterdam, they would have been camping right in our own United States in what city? New York, that's right. And you can go through and find, you know, Louis XVI, had he been a strong king, would have reshaped all of Europe as we know it. Lee at Gettysburg, the North and the South. History would be all different according to these outcomes. These historians, they then collaborated together following after going through these questions, and they wrote a book that is titled, If, History Rewritten. Now this morning, I want you to explore what I believe to be the most profound what if of history. What if Jesus had never been born? To that query, some would be quick to respond that would make no difference at all. In their minds and their way of thinking, Jesus is nothing more than any other mythological kind of figure. He is no different from the many gods of Rome, of Egypt, or of Greece. Jesus, Horus, Anubis, Zeus, Poseidon, and the list would go on and on and on. Their stories and their estimation, they all read the same. You see, in mythology, it reads kind of this way. The offspring of a supernatural being is what these gods are. And as a supernatural arrival, their birth was unique, unlike others. They possessed supernatural powers. I remember one day out here by the coat racks, and a little guy came up to me and he said, "Will you pray for my grandpa?" And I said, "I sure will. God answers prayer, and I know Jesus will touch your grandpa." He said, "Oh, I know all the superheroes can do that." And so what he had done, he was really doing what many do today, kind of lumping it all together. And so they possess supernatural powers. And you'll find the last and final comparison between all of these, you know, superpowers and or gods, mythological gods, that is. They have a supernatural departing from this earth. And so they throw Jesus in then with the same lump. Comparative mythology declares if you've heard one God story, you've heard them all. During the public ministry of Jesus here upon this earth, the following description was given to him by the name of a man by the name of Lentinius, which was the president of Judea, and he writes this to the Senate of Rome. Here is what he writes. He said, "There lives a man of singular character whose name is Jesus Christ in Judea. The barbarians esteem him as a prophet, but his own followers adore him as the immediate offspring of the immortal God. He is endowed with such unparalleled virtue as to call the dead from their graves and to heal every kind of disease with a word or with a touch." And so as he writes and he's talking about Jesus, he says, this Jesus is different than all of the other gods that we have known about. All of these gods that have gone from time of antiquity, from Rome and Egypt and Greece, he says, this one is unparalleled in his virtue. He calls the dead from their graves and he heals every kind of disease with a word or with a simple touch. Another writes, he was a real man who lived and walked and worked with real people. Historical records tell us about his life and about his death. There are more pages of original and duplicated vellums of ancient manuscripts about this man and his life and sayings that can be found in regard to any other man in ancient history. Collections of manuscripts are to be found scattered throughout the major libraries and historical archives of the world. Scholars trained in this field have spent lifetimes in careful analysis of these materials and the man and these records and what they speak about. The ages have come and gone, and this man stands out from among all others. There was a purity within his life that changed men who came in contact with him, and he has changed others since then as well. Men discovering him have gladly lived and laid down their lives for him, and this often by cruel means. But it mattered not because that which he had done within their lives. This is the secret of his influence, the happiness and the power to live clean lives that could be granted unto men and women. This is the secret of what he can do for you. He changes men. He can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Historians then, both of these historians say, we've looked at all of these religious leaders. We've looked at their lives, we've looked at their sayings, and there is no one like this man called Jesus. He cares for men and women. He changes their lives. He raises the dead back to life. He heals the sick with his touch. It is not just smoke and mirrors. This guy is the real deal. He is a unique and special man. He has been sent by heaven above, and he makes a difference in the lives of men. And even his greatest critics had to give that as testimony. You know, it's interesting to note that the Encyclopedia Britannica uses 20,000 words to tell about Jesus and never even hints at the fact that maybe he did not exist. This is more words than you'll find about Aristotle, Alexander the Great, Cicero, Julius Caesar, Napoleon Bonaparte. Matter of fact, you'll find that many of these even lumped together. There is more recorded about Jesus' life than all of these combined. Now, H.G. Wells, many of us know him. He certainly was not a follower of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, H.G. Wells is one that blasphemed Jesus, yet he had to write this. Listen to what he says. Christ is the most unique person of history. No man can write a history of the human race without giving the foremost place to the penniless teacher of Nazareth. He had to come to the understanding, though I do not believe in Jesus, though I blaspheme him, I am face to face with the reality that I cannot deal with world history without dealing with the person of Jesus Christ. I love this writing. It says, he was born contrary to the laws of nature. He lived in poverty, was reared in obscurity, and only once crossed the boundary of the land in which he was born, and that was in childhood. He had no wealth, no influence, and had neither training nor education in the world's schools. His relatives were inconspicuous and far from influential. In infancy, he startled a king. In boyhood, he puzzled the learned doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked upon the billows, and he hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine. He made no charge for his services. He never wrote a book, yet all the libraries of the world cannot hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all of the songwriters combined. He never founded a college, yet all the schools together cannot boast as many students as he has. He never practiced medicine, yet he healed more broken hearts than all the doctors far and near. Great men have come and gone, yet he lives on. He was rich, yet for our sake became poor. How poor? Asked Mary. Asked the wise men. He slept in another's manger. He rode on another man's donkey. He was buried in another man's tomb. The names of many proud statesmen of Greece and Rome have come and gone, but the name of this man abounds more and more. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not seduce him. Death could not hold him, and the grave could not keep him down. That, dear friends, separates Jesus Christ from all other mythological gods. He alone is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he alone is the life changer. So the question then begs to be asked, how would things be different this morning in our hearts and our lives? How would things be different on this planet if Jesus had never been born? First of all, we would all be disconnected from God. Jesus became our avenue, our way of access to holy God. You see, sin separates, and that is one of the awful things about sin. Sin keeps us from knowing God. Sin keeps us out of relationship with God. Even though God loves us, God is willing to forgive us, we are separated from him, and it is only through Jesus Christ that we are connected with God. So if Jesus would have never been born, we would be living our lives hopelessly, disconnected from God. Secondly, we would not know our personal worth. You see, the fact that God so loved the world, and when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you can put your name in there this morning. For God so loved Linda. For God so loved Curtis. For God so loved, and you can place your name in there this morning. Without Jesus, without knowing the price he paid for us, we would not know our personal worth. We would go through life not knowing that God cares and that God values us and values us to the point that he'd be willing to buy us out of, redeem us out of sin by the gift of his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. When you wonder what something is worth, here's how you can determine it. It is what someone is willing to pay for it. And Jesus was willing to give his life for you. Therefore, your worth has been declared. You are worth, the Bible says, more than the whole world. If you should gain the whole world and lose your soul, the Bible says you've lost the most important thing. So Jesus then brings value to our lives. We would never know our worth apart from Jesus coming to this world. Thirdly, we'd have to struggle with sin merely in our own strength. You know, we'd have to try to somehow get over the things that hold us back, the sin in our life. We'd have to try to do so on our own power and in our own accord. And the Bible tells us that we would absolutely fail in that. There would be no way that we would ever be able to break the bondages of sin. I'm so glad that Jesus came, and he came on a mission to seek and to save the lost. He came to set the prisoner free. He came to open the blinded eyes. He came to make a difference in our lives. And we would never know what it means to be free. We would never know what it means to be able to walk in freedom before God if Jesus had not come. Fourthly, the Bible would be unreliable. We would not be able to turn to the Bible and say, God's word is true. If Jesus had not come, if Jesus would not have been born. You see, as you read through the Old Testament, you'll find there is six major prophecies regarding the coming of Jesus Christ. First of all, it tells us he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He is going to be born of a virgin. He would be from the line of Abraham. He would be a descendant of Jacob. He would be called out of Egypt. And he'd be born among, you know, the people of this world. He would come and he would dwell here with us in a wonderful and supernatural way. Matter of fact, there's more than 300 different prophecies regarding Jesus and his life on this earth, his coming into this world. Six of them regarding his first coming, and over 300 regarding his second coming. Now, friends, I want you to know the Bible records what has happened, how this world came to be, how we came to be. So the Bible records what has happened. The Bible records what would happen in near prophecy. And it also declares what will happen yet down the road. And friends, we would be just walking around in the fog and in the dark had it not been for the fact that Jesus came. You would not have a reliable record if Jesus would have been born in Jerusalem. You know, prophecy is not the best 3 out of 5 in fulfillment. In order for a prophet to be a true prophet, every word that a prophet speaks must come to pass. Not 50% or 75% or even 90%. And in every single detail of Jesus' life, it was all fulfilled in perfect detail. And because it was, and because it is, we have a reliable record. We can trust the Word of God. And the promises that are in the Word, we can claim them today. At about 3 minutes before I came out for the service this morning here to join all of you in worship, it was 7:57, and God said, I want you to send a text. And so I quickly sent a text off to Dave Eidson. I said, the Lord laid this upon my heart for you this morning. Out of Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I've called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When you pass through the rivers will not overflow you, and when you go through the fires of affliction, they will not burn you. And I sent that text off to him this morning. I said, God laid that upon my heart. This is for you, and this is for this day. And I can know that God stands behind it. And I can know that every word of the Word of God is going to come to pass in absolute perfect detail. Friend, I want you to know we can count on the Word. When you carry the Word in your hand and you carry that Bible, and as you hide it inside of your heart, you can know that this is the eternal Word of God. And that it is truth because Jesus came exactly the way he said he was going to come. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. And friends, he's coming back exactly on time. Just as he came the first time, he will come again. You know, there's a wonderful statistic by a man by the name of Stoner regarding that. And he says the probability of Jesus fulfilling 8 of these major, 300 some plus prophecies is so phenomenal, the statistical probability. He said the probability is like this. If you had silver dollars and you laid these silver dollars out over the state of Texas, they would lay there on the state of Texas about a foot deep. Now, wouldn't that be a pile of silver dollars? Matter of fact, it's been a long time since I've even seen a silver dollar. And so you'd lay it out over the entire state. That's how deep it would be. Now stir it all up. And mark one of the coins. One coin is marked. And blindfold an individual. And then set him out on the border of Texas. And he can go anywhere he wants. Wandering for days in that big state. Reach down. Dig around in the pile. Pull out the one coin, and it is the coin that was marked out of all the coins a foot deep all over the entire state of Texas. That is the statistical probability that one person could fulfill all of these prophecies. Friend, let me tell you, the Word is something you can count on. You can go to the bank on the Word. You may have doctors telling you one thing, but God is saying something else. Stick with what God says. You may be facing financial difficulty this morning, and I want you to know the God that was the Jehovah Jireh of the Old Testament, he is still the Jehovah Jireh. He is still the one that is the provider today. He changes not. And men have come, men have gone, but Jesus, he remains the same. So because Jesus came, we can be connected to God. Because Jesus came, we can know our personal worth. Because Jesus came, we don't have to struggle with sin on our own. Because Jesus came into this world, we can know of absolute certainty that the Bible is reliable. Fifthly, had Jesus not come, there would be no hope for life beyond the grave. Think about how disturbing that would be. I mean, how depressing that would be. To wake up every day and realize that your life is like sand through a, time sand glass. You know, one of these time, what do you call them? Hourglass. Thank you, congregation. We help each other, right? And so this hourglass, and you watch the sand go down, and, that's the way it would be with life. You get up every day and say, well, that's one last day. That's one last day. And you start reaching your 60s, and, there's a lot of sand in the bottom and not a whole lot in the top. And you reach 70, and it just gets less and less and less and less. That would be a depressing way of life. I'm so glad to know there is a hope beyond the grave, because I've been to the tomb in Jerusalem. And it says, he is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. And I'm so glad to know he is alive and well. and he's at the right hand of God the Father. Sixthly, if Jesus would not have come, it would be a world without forgiveness. Can you think of what it would be like? We'll talk about this further next week when we talk about the values that Jesus brought from heaven to earth. But I want you to think about it for just a moment. We'd be living in a world without forgiveness. This forgiveness, yes, on the relationship with God, and that is so overall, you know, just mind-blowing important that we live in a relationship forgiven by God. But think of what this world would be like if there be no forgiveness in any realm. That no one would seek forgiveness, no one would offer forgiveness. If you backed into the corner of their car and bent, you know, the fender, they, I'll never forgive you. I will never forget this moment. I will never forgive you in marriage. I will never forget you or forgive you as a child. You would just live life. The friction would grow and grow. This friction would be between you and your neighbor, between you and your mate, between you and your employer, between you and fellow employees. I mean, can you imagine how over a lifetime there would be no one that is in any kind of relationship with you, even in distant relationship, that would ultimately, would need to have a relationship repaired through forgiveness. I'm so glad that God offers forgiveness. And I'm so glad that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Jesus' life and Christianity as a whole has impacted our culture, our society, and our world. The value of human life determined by Jesus. Compassion and mercy, marriage and family, education, government, science, free enterprise, music, the arts, it's all been influenced by the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus' life was indeed the birth, friends, that changed the world. And it is His life that continues to change the world to this very day. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Aren't you glad He came?